I don't know if you remember, Lil, I was said earlier about the Hillcrest bus dispute, you know, mm-hmm. and how long it went on.
6 months.
Yeah, and it was B Knot, and I can't remember the ones, that we went to meet the labor minister in Victoria. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We interviewed at the Colonist. Mm-hmm. And then we went in, well, you know, B knew everybody. And what was his name? This guy, oh, B would know his name. We never get in there, B says, well, she says, we're coming here from your honeymoon town. And he looked at her and he said, how did you know we honeymooned in Lake College? And B says, I know everything about everybody. And he says, what can I do for you ladies? She says, well, our husband's, and she says, one of your main industries in BC is logging, and our husbands have been out of work for 6 months, and we think it's about time that you stepped in and we got this thing settled. By God, the next day it was settled. After a swim would have been down in Victoria, they settled it. You know, I don't know whether that did it, but, you know, it was settled the next day.
Well, they still got buses anyway.
Yeah. But I don't know whether a delegate from the auxiliary went or just delegates from the people.
No, it was
no auxiliary then. It must have been just the people that beat in the auxiliary that got the wives. The wives of the woodworkers.
The ones that were involved.
But it was through learning through the auxiliary that you
were
in a group, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you talk at all about, I guess, what could be called women's issues, like children and child care and women's wages? Women's work within the home, that kind of thing, and cooperative, any of those kinds of things? Were there discussions of that?
Well, we had study groups on cooperatives and credit unions. And like I said, the child care, but it wasn't, we didn't have people that were affected. I mean, there weren't that very, maybe none that worked out in industry or worked outside the homes. There weren't the job question around here, like as in a city. You know, so we weren't involved that way. But our main theme was the equal pay for equal work. I mean, we felt that the women should, if they did work, they should get, you know, the same as a male if she did the same job.
Did the auxiliary write a column for the union paper then?
Oh, we always had reports there.
Reports then?
You mean to take, like, personal, their opinions? Yes, I think we had some of them too over the years. Edna or Marge Croy or Kay Rogers or some of them would.
I don't remember Marge McCrory being very active.
Marge Croy.
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 Oh,
that married Ernie Dalsko.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking Marge McCrory.
No.
She wasn't ever in the authority.
Have you been referred to Marge Dalsko? She lives up near Bowser. I don't know her address. It's around Ship's Point Road.
Can you talk a bit about the process that led up to the split in 1948 and the impact of that on women's auxiliary?
Don't mention that to me.
we were all on the same side, so we got
Well, there was only two men that got the brunt of the whole thing. That was Owen and Fred. They were blacklisted for miles around.
Well, it was Owen.
Well, I said Owen and Fred were blacklisted.
Pardon me, and Bertie.
Well, yeah.
Nelson was
blacklisted. And Ralph was.
Nelson
he joined
was.
The WIU.
Yeah.
He couldn't belong to the IWA.
No.
Well, none of those guys.
I was mass. No voice.
No. Until, and they'd go to this afterwards at Hillcrest where he worked. They'd have their union meetings, and first of all, they'd nominate Ralph, you know, to be on a committee. I'm sorry, he said, I can't be. They won't let me belong to the union. And this would go on and on until finally they got him back in the union. They allowed him to go in the union. But I know what you mean. Like, it was the main officers,
were.
But
Fred
finally got in. Owen did too. He finally got in.
Never did.
No, Owen didn't he?
No, not that I know of. He could have, but
well,
they never
allowed
Fred back.
Well, there were quite a few of them, I mean, that were taken back in.
Oh, I know.
Well, I don't mean just Ralph and them. I mean the officers in the later years.
I don't think Fred or, I know Fred never got in. That was one thing he wanted to do, was to get back into the, because he started it. He was the first president.
Nelson's in there. Nelson's something to do it because he was one of the
officers.
No, I know, but then, like, we sat, you know...
But, and he couldn't get into that area for a while, but he got back into
well,
it.
Well, Fred was never allowed back in.
Yeah.
They're never allowed back in, but he would
What is that union called now?
WIUC, Woodworkers Industrial...
Union of Canada.
Union of Canada. We still got the badges and had it all in the buttons. Now he wouldn't part with us for anything. We had
that was another deal we did.
Mm-hmm.
The Woolies.
The IWW. But do you remember? Do you remember we were putting on something? It was a convention. Or something we were putting on. Well, I guess it ended up with a dance. But we had a whole day here. But what we sat and done, and I'm in my house, I'll never forget it, you were there, and Bertha, and Edna. We got. Oh, I don't know how many logs, you know, they're about that big around.
That was for a 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
And we... That was in 45.
And we carved these little pieces of wood.
I was trying to think where mine is.
And
it was around here somewhere.
We burnt the wood burning set, IWA or whatever the heck it was, Local 180, and painted on them.
Were they done out of axe handles?
Well, it could have been.
Wet,
no, it had bark around the outside, so it wouldn't have been an axe handle. I know because I painted millions of them.
I know.
Well, the rainbow, I guess you know the reason why they were trying to make the slip.
Why did we go through that?
Well, Leo would probably be able to tell better because they figured that, the men's union dues they were paying, the biggest percentage of it was going down across to the States. And they figured why we were a big enough place to have our own IWA, you know, a Canadian. You know, woodworkers and...
Not to be affiliated.
Not to be affiliated because, you know, most of... Well, say if they had a dollar dues, we'd get 20 cents left in Canada and 80 would go across to the States, you know. So this is one of the main reasons, I think, that they didn't think we were getting enough benefits as being belonging to the Americans. We have one union, and that would be Canadian Union. Mm. And we could do more, you know.
And I do know that the United States... They wanted all these here groups, you know, to still belong. And they even sent head men, they sent men over here and put them in positions, you know, of either president and either local, so the money would go. Well, Local 180 was the richest one at that time. And I know there was $17,500 and some odd dollars. And that's when they took that out of the bank, drew every bit of it, Fred and Owen. And then they packed it around. Edna didn't want any part of it, so it was in our house and it was in Nanaimo and wherever we went. Finally, we sent it to Harvey Murphy in Vancouver, the mine mill and smelter, you know, and it was in his care. Well, then it was too hot, you see, so.
I just thought she had part.
They shipped it back to Fred again, and eventually all that money, and that was what Fred and Owen were accused of taking this $17,000.
But you see what happened, in a way, as Bergie said, what actually happened. It was, I think, I don't know, maybe Lil, you can check me.
Oh, God,
because the union had grown quite big, and men got lackadaisical, weren't going to meetings, eh? And, you know, they trusted the people, and therefore the people that were leading, they could see what's happening. Most of the money out of the union dues were going across the States. And they thought they had the support of the membership behind them. But these other ones in the States sent people and troublemakers here, you know, when the split came, and you know, and they split the people that were for the Canadian Union and the other ones, they had them in there working, and they smeared it that it was communists, it was Reds that were trying to take over the Union. But actually, it was to get a Canadian Union to get better conditions here, because they didn't feel they'd get
the international were taking the bank accounts of the various locals.
Yeah.
And the men, that's what created the split.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to stand for that, no way.
Yeah.
And during the trial, all the bank managers all spoke in favor of Fred and Owen. You know, they knew what was being done. And there was nothing they could do.
And there was quite a lot of hard feelings in the district at the time.
Yes, I mean, bad friends, bad friends.
You still got that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's still that dividing line, I think. Mm-hmm. I just stopped to think, see, this was 48, 49, like 48. If you look and see the people that reorganized the IWA Auxiliary, and there was to be no politics. This is what they reported in the paper in the Auxiliary. They figured that
they were just supposed to be a little selective.
Yeah, they could just whatever they wanted to do. They had to get the sanction of the local first. You know, they couldn't do anything before they asked the local. They could cater to dances or teas, but they weren't. So that when we in 1950 we started the co-op and the credit union here, and I guess those same people were a long time
joining.
Either going into either one of those, weren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Because they figured they were...
Well, I remember during that trial and all that, I'd be going by, walking up, well, and I remember two or three people say, I'm in the jailhouse now. Poor Sharon would come home from school crying, you know.
No, it was too bad it happened. Yeah. You know, as Berkey said,
they weren't ready for it.
And they say it educated people more, but they, to this day now, when everything's running smooth, my husband's in the other day, but they don't attend meetings. Not like they,
certain groups get in and takes over.
And the ones who are usually strongest to fight for conditions, you know, but if they have a union meeting now, and how many is in this local, and they're lucky if they can get a quorum to, you know, half the time to get a meeting
going. Well,
people get too lax unless there's a trouble coming up, and then they'll stick
together.
But the, like, the executive had their meetings, like in the local union. And then the next Sunday, probably the next day, they'd have a meeting on Saturday, the Sunday they'd have their local meeting. And they'd go, and it'd be almost the same ones there. So if they made a mistake, you know, and didn't have the right reasoning in their executive meeting, there was nobody to point it out to them the next day at the local meeting. So that was the members themselves' fault. You know, they didn't take an action.
Well, they also let the IWA union office up here, once this new group take over, be moved to Duncan. Mm-hmm. So the men have to attend a union meeting and have to go into Duncan.
There's no sub-local meetings.
No, and there's no sub-local meetings, anything here yet to this day. You know, and this is where the district, the union really grew from this district, and they've...
Well, each area had their own sub-local meetings, whether it be Ladysmith, Yubel, Camp 6, Lake Cowichan, Port Renfrew, and then they would get together for the local meeting in Duncan. But now there's only one meeting, and that's in, unless they have a camp meeting on the job, you know, a meeting on the job action. But this is your thing, that, and there's no bark on it, my dear.
No bark. How come mine has bark on it?
I'm sure somebody cut them out of an axe handle to get them that. But it was wonderful, and then they had their names on each one. They had 100 and something of them.
How many?
100 and something, because there was 100 and something. Well, there was 100. Well, that would.
I wonder where mine is.
There was 100, I think it said 125 at the banquet.
To what extent, one of the things that sort of said in labor history, and you know, you kind of hear from the other side of the slip, is that the real issue was not Canadian unionism, but was that the leadership of the IWA was communist.
And that's what they were accused of.
Right.
Because during the trial, that was brought up many, many times. And never forget the Judge Wilson, you're no relation, but he said that Fred and Owen had been sold right down the road, you know, and there was no sign of any communism or anything else.
Don't you think this is the first label that even the bosses like to put on anybody that wants to stand up for their rights or take a opposite side of the fence from them?
Well,
you know, want a better conditions?
Any kind of betterment, it's always
communist. To be in a red,
Well, if they were, they did a good job, didn't they, of organizing and doing everything, I'd say that.
There would have been no union.
There wouldn't have been anything if they hadn't.
Whether they were reds or what they were.
So when this split took place, did it, like, how did it sort of divide down in terms of the community? How many people went with the Workers' International Union? What happened after there had been a split? Was there a local set up here?
Only thing was the leaders of the other. They didn't get back in again. It was absolutely a new
union. In the local, well, the others withdrew.
Yeah, I know.
And they set up the WIUC.
Well, you know,
there were officers there.
The ones that got in to the IWA, you know, they had the money. If you got the money behind you, and they wanted these ones we had in out. They were fighting for conditions, so it cost them a lot of money to break this, you know, to get the split. The way they were undermining. In fact, we had one of them, Tubenville. He was voting in the IWA here. And the bosses bought, and now this negotiation just had, he's sitting over with the bosses, eh? He's negotiating against the workers, and he was one of the IWA presidents here, eh? This type, they worked on people, right? And they bought them off, a lot of them. Don't you think so, Lil?
And too, like you said about this, but most, the ones that joined the auxiliary, you know, the reorganized IWA auxiliary after the split, where people, you could never get to take any active part or join the union, join the auxiliary, or their husbands weren't active union members either, previous to this, from during the 40s to 48. They didn't attend union meetings then or take any active part. They came forward after that.
We had
but they didn't, they weren't active.
Like my youngest brother hadn't been in the woods that long and he was impressed. Nobody was going to tell him anything. Of course, all our family was IWA. Except these guys got a hold of
IWU.
You know, I get, well, the, no, I
they
always,
were
but they were WIUC. And, oh, we had one, H of a row at home, just my younger brother. And there was a few of these guys got a hold of Alvin and they were going up to strike break at, you know, that was at Iron River. And my brothers, Neil and Bud, and down the whole crew said, now, says, look, boy, before you ever you get involved in this, you better know what you're doing, you know. Oh, you guys can't do it. Well, they sat on down and they says, you go there and you're blacking for life, you know, with the, you know, because it caused friction even in your own families, eh? Some days they work at the young guys, mm-hmm. you know, and Alvin was the youngest. Remember, it was a real kishmazel. You don't forget these things, you know. So it caused a lot of problems. A lot of people that were friends for years broke the friendships, you know.
What happened at Iron River with them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what happened up there?
Well,
there was a strike on it, and I guess so many went back to work.
Yeah, they were even going across the picket lines.
The WIUC picket lines?
Yeah, they were, you know, going across them, you know. And you never walk through a picket line. Mm-hmm. You know, right?
Doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah. And I can't really remember. Nels would know, and Ralph would know what it was all about. But I know that was just one of the incidents that, you know, it happened. It caused a lot of heartache and problems.
Was there violence?
Oh, yeah. There was some. Was there? Sweat and violence and different things, eh? And there was lots of fist fights. Lots of tension, I can tell you.
Well, tension on a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's something I don't think anybody that...
The Parliament buildings murmured. That's history being made right there. And thousands of people in the province silently echoed his words. Not a beef from 20 trekkers after they were finally loaded into cars in spite of 12 miles of driving rain in an open truck.
More than that.
A member of the parade surrounding the apartment buildings watching trembling stenographers through the windows who said, I'll bet they think the bloody revolution is coming. The overcautiousness of the mayor of Victoria, whose efforts to get Macaulay Point Barracks were modified by a desire to protect the hygiene of Victoria. Although they were compelled to sleep on hard and bare floors, very few of the gals on the trek accepted billets offered by trek supporters in Victoria and Nanaimo. Never mind the merchandise, he told employees.
If I'd have known that, I'd have filled my pocket.
Reports the profound concern of the Hudson's Bay management for their dear employees during the recent IWA trek to the capital. Calling the employees together before the union paraders arrived, the manager told them to save themselves and never mind the merchandise if the strikers started smashing things up.
I'd have had myself a fur coat.
Soon after the fuses blew and the lights went out and all the revolution was on.
Oh dear.
I bet we did scare the daylight trail.
Well, when you think of it, you know, the people just stared when we were going down
Douglas. The cars.
Yeah. Well, we were walking.
We were walking through Victoria. Yeah,
and Douglas.
There's a picture somewhere. I'll tell you. You haven't got that book. He gave me one. Liversidge.
Here's a picture.
This I guess I'm anyway, in there too.
How come the top is torn off?
I guess it got caught in the door or something. I was looking worse than this until I trimmed it up with my pig in there. But it was, you know, nothing serious was affected. Hmm? Oh, it's in 40s. It was June the 22nd.
Oh, I got to look at some of those.
June the 15th is when we...
37-day strike ends in Victoria.
My mother took me down there to celebrate my birthday. What a mean mother.
Gee.
Did the women march at the front?
We were...
That's it right there.
And Mrs. Olson.
Yeah, Nelson's mom. My sister Bird is in
there. Can you see your picture there? No, can you see yourself?
See me, but there are Eva. You can see Eva, and you can see on that. Didn't they have a better picture on that?
Yeah, there's a better picture.
Isn't there a better picture in that? Yeah.
Who were the girls that were carrying that banner? That I know one of it was my friend Vi from Duncan. And I forget who the other girl was.
What paper is this in?
I don't know. She's torn the top.
More jobs for all.
Well, you must be close to where Edna Brown is.
20 and the take-home pay counts.
IWA Women's Auxiliary for new status for our women.
I can't remember what I had on.
Doesn't matter. Pants. You had pants anyway. Did you say you didn't know? You didn't wear pants.
Let me see.
Sure, you got pants. Look at you. Definitely
that
pants.
That was warm weather. That wasn't
huh?
It was in June.
June. Well, yes, but it rained like a son of a gun.
Oh yes, it was raining. I know, cause our car leaked. We've all got pants on.
Well, that's why it's said in there somewhere.
Yeah,
there
I mean, picture, eh?
It made them mention.
This is a boss artist compiling of this board. Look at the pictures. You send them in, they got together, lost the figures and stuff for Duncan accidents.
Yeah, that's right. There was an article on that. Yeah. Well, Mary, it must be in that. Is there a picture on Sweeney Cooperage in there? Maybe it's in one of the other ones. Is there
George Pulling Mills
no,
Madsen.
There must be another paper there.
Well, do you have papers in there?
Oh, I had it. I'll go find it.
When did you write all this?
And she was internationally known for being her active work in the exilic, well, in the labor movement.
1942.
42.
Annie Bullard?
Yes.
No, no, no. Irene Weaver.
Oh, 42.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, she came to talk here, and they were just starting. I don't know what year she came. No, but anyway, there was no houses either, you know. And I only had the two rooms, and Bertha did have quite a nice home. So Hjalmar Berggren came to me first, and I said, well, I can't put her up here. I said, there's only one bedroom, and Fred and I sleep in the kitchen as it is. Kids have the bedroom. So he said, well, I'll go and see Bertha. So he went to see Bertha, and Bertha was terrified. So I'll tell you what we'll do. She said, she can stay here, but you can pretend that you are the owner of the home and you act as the hostess, and I'll be your maid. Anyway, we got through the day, or 2 days, but we had that meeting that night. It wasn't hardly anybody showed up. It was only Bertha and I about the only ones that showed up. But I don't know what even then what she was speaking of. But she thought I was pretty stupid, I'll admit that. But it was, that's a long time ago. He was spiritual advisor for Madam Chiang Kai-shek. He was really interesting. And then his son used to come back the odd 2 weeks in the summer, you know. He was really clever. I don't know where they are now. I've never heard from them since. But there's been a lot of interesting people, you know, come.
Well, I can't remember. No, I think Nels said he would remember probably more than I would about that.
It doesn't. I don't think it's.
But we were there, I know. There was a heck of a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. Ralph and I went. We went and took our son. He was only
8 years old.
How long ago was since that trek?
43. No, it's
46. 46. The trek went.
Background first, please. Background music.
Well, my first dance at Lake College. I never thought anything, you know, of it, but you should have seen the looks I got when I got there. There was loggers, boots, there was everything there, but me in the long, slinky, black evening gown, no backing, spike heel shoes, walking along the track, and, you know, and up through the bushes to get to this place. I didn't know where I'd got to. I had no idea where it was. Nobody attended anything. No, they had sweaters and skirts or...
Well, they wore what they had.
And only in the pig camp, you had to sit on blocks of wood.
We had benches when but I was there.
You know, they just looked like... They kept looking at me as if I was something from another world.
Mars.
With a backless evening gown on. At the pig camp.
Mm-hmm. The dances at the pig camp.
Mm-hmm.
During the strike?
Mm-hmm. No, it was in 35 or 36.
I went to dances at the pig camp.
Right.
Wasn't very big, but we always went. Remember the wood piles outside on the veranda?
Yeah.
I remember the one night that Neil and Andy Bell had a fight, and it was wood flying every which way.
Do you remember?
I always remember
this
that we had a basket social, and it was at the picket camp. And it was a real, it must have been the coldest night on record, and the woman brought the baskets, and then they picked partners. And it was Mrs. Olson, who we didn't think would do anything like that. Did she have Archie for her partner? And here, she had a little bottle of liquor in her basket for her partner, and he was the most popular. And you really needed it that night.
Do you remember the Supreme Court? This is not for the record.